You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
This is the first day of the Lunar New Year, and unless you're Chinese, you probably know little more than this about the holiday. It's a time when lion dance troupes perform on the streets of the city's Chinatowns, accompanied by the sound of exploding firecrackers, and the restaurants offer special feasts of food specific to welcoming in the new year. But have you ever wondered why the menu features things like sticky rice pudding cake, hair seaweed with dried oysters, lotus roots, sea cucumber, and pig's tongue? When the New York Times or New York Magazine need to talk with an expert on Chinese food, they usually give Ed Schoenfeld a call, so we decided to do the same. Ed's an Asian culinary expert and a restaurant consultant who imagines and creates new restaurants. It's with great pleasure that I welcome the man that Gourmet Magazine once dubbed the curator of Chinese food in America back to the show today. Hi, Ed.
Hi, Leonard. How are you? Gung Hei Fa Choi.
Now, what does Gung Hei Fa Choi mean? Does it mean Happy New Year?
Not literally. Actually, the phrase Fa Choi means make money or have business success. So the Gung Hei Fa Choi literally means may you make a lot of money. And a lot of the Chinese New Year is oriented to sayings like that. In other words, the dishes you just mentioned, a lot of their dishes, the names of those dishes in Chinese sound like other words in Chinese that mean prosperity or long life or things that portend good for the coming year.
So homonyms are important here. I understand that, for example, that hair seaweed with dried oysters sounds like wealth and good business. So that's why you would eat that.
That's exactly right. That's precisely why you would eat that.
Now what happened during the Mao years?
Well, people left China if they wanted to eat well, that's for sure. That's a big story of that era. But I think actually one of the most important traditions of Chinese New Year is that it's a time when it brings Chinese families together. And especially there are different traditions in different parts of China. But one family tradition I learned about yesterday when I was speaking with this wonderful dim sum chef I work with, Joe Eng of Chinatown Brasserie. In his family, for the New Year, the day before New Year, New Year's Eve day, the whole family gathers together, and they all work around the table making something. In northern China, people may stand around the table and making dumplings. That's very common. Spring rolls portends for a rebirth. And in Joe's family, they went around and made sweets, sticky rice balls, sesame balls, things like that. And the reason they made sweets was not to eat them, but to make a batch and leave them out so they could attract the spirits. And the spirits would come and feast on the sweets. In fact, some of the sweets might even stay on display at an altar in their home for the whole year.
So this is also a chance to honor the ancestors.
Absolutely. And from a pragmatic point of view, it's just like we have with Thanksgiving. Kids come home, families get together. This is the time of the year when you really want to be with your family.
And that's why many people are disappointed when they go to Chinatown on New Year's Eve, Chinese New Year's Eve, and discover the restaurants are closed, because the restaurants, everybody's off with family and friends. And I gather when guests arrive, the first thing they're asked is, have you eaten yet? Because the food is so important.
Well, food is really, the centerpiece of social interaction in Chinese families and in business dealings, too. One of the things to remember if you do go out to eat over the next few weeks is, from my experience, different restaurants close during the period of the two-week period. So on the actual New Year's Eve last night and New Year's Day, many restaurants may be open, and, for them it's good business. And a number of the restaurants have special menus. The restaurants that tend to cater to the Chinese community have more of the pig's tongue variety and the dried oyster and black moss dishes. And the midtown finer restaurants like Shun Li, for instance, has had a really great New Year's dinner every year for my whole life that I can remember. And, it's not the way you get their best food, but the food's fun. The experience is excellent. The variety's special. And they make some things that they don't make the rest of the year. So there are good reasons to go out on that night. Of course, if you want a really great banquet, the thing to do is to order one ahead of time and have the head chef make it for you and have it on a day when he can concentrate on 10 of you, not 110 of you.
also might be better if you really just want a great banquet to go at a time other than Chinese New Year, where all the foods don't have to have special meanings and guarantee you a long life or profit or wealth. But there are nice sides to this. Well, I'm assuming everything is Cantonese because in New York Chinatown, so much of the culture is Cantonese. I remember they gave gifts like tangerines and oranges because the Chinese names sound like gold and wealth.
Exactly. And one of the other culinary traditions is this is a day when you want to eat whole pieces of protein.
Nothing is cut.
Well, they might be cut, but it'll be reassembled into a whole. So this is a day where you eat a whole fish. For instance, I think at Chinatown Brasserie tonight, they're serving a whole fish. And what's it flavored with? The fruit that you just mentioned is flavored with dried tangerine peel. So that again, portends wealth for the year. And long-life noodles are something that we eat now.
Long noodles are used to guarantee that everybody at the table will have a long life.
Right. And we have a special type of noodle called an yifu or yimin noodle, which looks like a lo mein noodle, but it's fried crispy. And when the chef gets it, it's in a big hat box. And that noodle is then put in water and taken out and braised in stock, almost like a risotto is made. And that's a big, special thing to eat at this time of the year.
There are also many people in the Chinese community who don't eat any meat in the first day because a Buddhist tradition, so they eat vegetarian meals.
Well, as I prepared to come here today, I reviewed a number of menus from restaurants that were seeing what they were offering, and a number of them did have what they call lohan chai, or a form of that, which is the Buddhist delight, is the translation of the dish. And it's different kinds of bean curd and gluten and vegetables. Kind of has a musky quality to the sauce.
Even names like the word for fish, yu, represents having enough to spare. But carp is especially popular. Is that because carp has a golden skin?
Yeah. You know, we call that li yu. And in fact, in Hong Kong, there's a whole pier named after carp. It's a big part of the Chinese culinary world, carp. It's a bony fish to our way of thinking. But to the Chinese way of thinking, they think it's a very rich meat, a dark flesh, and good eating.
And then there are things that won't be eaten during the Chinese New Year, like fresh bean curd tofu, because it's white.
Well, you know, it's considered the opposite of prosperous. You don't want to mess around with the bad spirits here.
Doesn't white signify death and misfortune?
Yes. It's, you know, the opposite of red, which is the celebratory color. In fact, your microphone is red and mine is white. I don't know if there's any significance.
And there is, actually. I worked that out. People also hand out little envelopes, little red envelopes.
Right. You give out little envelopes with lucky money. And the word on the street this year is that all the red envelopes are being cut in half. People understand because of the hard times.
Really?
So yeah, I've heard that in two or three places. In the restaurant industry, for instance, it's a fairly interesting tradition. Chinese chefs, when they think of how much money they earn, they say, oh, I want $4,000. That means, oh, I'm going to get $4,000 every month. And it's a tradition in the restaurant industry on New Year's Day to pay your staff a 13th month wage. So you get a bonus of 1 month's salary. And many of the Chinese chefs think of this as part of their deal, not an optional thing. And, you know, today's a day. Some of those chefs may have ruffled feathers this year, you know, because I've heard of different restaurant owners saying, oh, we're going to, you know, it's going to be half a month's bonus this year.
I understand that some of the other many people know about the firecrackers and the lion dance. But there are things like cleaning that are really significant. You clean before New Year's Day because if you sweep something out of the house on New Year's Day, you're sweeping good fortune away.
Absolutely.
This is a very metaphorical holiday.
It is. Well, you know, there's a lot of metaphor in Chinese food terminology and in the whole Chinese culinary world. Some things have very poetic names, you know, ants climbing up a tree. Is, you know, cellophane noodles and ground pork. Who would have thunk it, right? But, you know, it's one of the fun parts, especially because most Chinese foods have very, very literal names. When you talk about chicken and cashew nuts, you say Yao Guo Ji Ding. And Yao Guo is, well, actually, that means kidney nut, because the Chinese refer to cashews as a, because of their shape.
A kidney shape.
And so that dish is just, you know, kidney nut chicken. Very, very literal. So when you start getting something that's poetic, you know, Buddha jumps the wall, you know, it's always kind of a source for amusement.
It leads to some problems at times with this, all of these metaphors, because as I understand it, the word for the number four, su, sounds like the word for death. And so people can't avoid trying to use a number four in their conversation.
Well, they try to avoid number four at all costs. It's almost like when I was a kid, our apartment building didn't have a 13th floor. And the antithesis of that is also true, which is that the number eight is considered extraordinarily good luck. And if you happen to have a phone number in New York City or in Hong Kong that has a lot of eights in it, it's actually a valuable commodity. It's something that you can sell. There'll be someone who wants it.
There are some really sweet conventions. If you cry on New Year's Day, you'll cry throughout the year. So children are tolerated during this time of year, because if you spank them, they might cry.
Well, you know, Chinese kids are usually pretty well behaved, I must say. You know, you go to that Chinese restaurant for dim sum on Sunday morning, and there are always a lot of kids there, and it's not usually too loud.
And this is a holiday that goes on for it actually, in theory, goes on for 15 days, because it starts with a new moon and ends
exactly,
with a full moon.
But primarily, it's celebrated for about the first week. And as I said, some restaurants will close anytime in those first 2 weeks. So today is the start of the new moon, and you know, it's the lunar holiday. And you know, it jumps around every year. This isn't, it's kind of like the Jewish holiday, though the Jewish calendar is older. But this year, Lunar New Year is rather early, and it gets as late as the middle of February as well.
Mm-hmm. And this is a time when one of the reasons that the restaurants close, a lot of businesses close, this is a time when they do renovation?
I don't think, you know, they clean, it's spring cleaning, let's put it that way. And restaurants might close at this time of the year for renovation. Let's face it, for an Asian restaurant, after the Lunar New Year is the slowest few weeks of the year.
Just one more question before you go about you. Over the years, you've either been an owner of or a consultant for some of the most popular New York restaurants, including Uncle Tai's, Hunan Yuan, Pig Heaven, Shun Li Palace, Shun Li West, Auntie Yuan, Chop Suey Louis Lychee Lounge, most recently the Chinatown Brasserie. Isn't it rare for a non-Chinese to have that much experience in the Chinese restaurant business?
It is, but you know, when you think of it, all of our critics write about Italian and French restaurants and claim to be experts in that field. And I was very lucky. In the early 1970s and late 1960s, we had a large group of fabulous chefs emigrate to this country. They were trained before 1949,
because immigration laws were changed.
In the mid-60s. And we had a group of chefs here who I was exposed to and learned from, who were some of the great chefs of the 20th century, which is my education is not only about depth, but it's about quality. And a lot of those culinary traditions didn't get perpetuated in mainland China in the 60s and 70s. But luckily, they came here.
Chinese years aren't numbered the way they are in many other cultures, but I understand this is either the year 4076 or 4077.
It's 4006 or 4706 or 4707. There are two interpretations of the calendar. I have no idea which one is right, but most people are calling it 4707, so I'm going with the flow here.
Ed Schoenfeld, thank you so much for being with us.
You're very welcome. And
Gong Hei Fa Choy.
And may you make a lot of money, too. This is my year. It's the year of the ox, so I'm looking forward to good things.
In my case, it's about time. And, you know, Barack Obama was born in the year of the ox.
Excellent. Well, it should be a good year for our whole country, I hope.